You are listening to the PT and the Gibdog podcast, episode 2. Today we are talking NBA, recapping the draft and previewing free agency. Let's do this. All right, what you've all been waiting for, episode 2, PT and the Gibdog. Excited to talk today about the NBA draft, do a little recap after we went into detail last week about how we thought things would go, and then NBA free agency. I think it's on everybody's mind, and really looking forward to the next few days, so we're going to talk through a little bit from that perspective. But first, want to hear from Mike, the Gibdog. How was the NBA draft? Did it live up to your dreams and highest potentials?
I'd only recommend going if you have a team that is making a pick somewhere in the top 10, or if you or you're rooting, or the team you root for has multiple picks in the first round. So say the Celtics last year when they had 3, 16, and 23 or whatever it was. It was fun. It was interesting. You know, a lot of different fans from a lot of different teams. It was very Philadelphia heavy this time around for obvious reasons with them having the number one pick. A lot of Knicks fans, of course. And then you have a few fans of, we had a conversation in one of the restaurants or bars we were in prior to the draft with, you know, a guy who was a Mavericks fan, which, you know, you don't see too many of those, you know. I mean, sure, they carry some popularity with Dirk and everything, but not ones you'd expect. You know, you had your Laker fans dressed up looking in their clown suits with their purple and gold wigs and all that stuff. And so, I mean, as far as it was interesting in that respect, where you're never in a place, like if you go to a game, you're in a place where there's, if you go to like an actual game between two teams, it's two fan bases, but here you have, you know, somewhere 15, 20. So that was the interesting part of it, just having so many different fans there at once. But the calling of the names and just sitting around after you get out of the lottery, it starts to get a little slow. So,
yeah, I mean, I was thinking from watching on TV, did it feel so? NBA games are flow super, super well. And obviously the draft is super disjointed. Did it feel more like an NFL game in terms of like action, stop, pause, action, stop, pause, especially with the gaps between the picks?
Well, there were no gaps. There was no silence between the picks because we were hoping the whole night that we were going to be locked into ESPN. You know, their broadcast was going to be heard throughout the whole building, but it wasn't. It was the guys from NBA TV, which it's not. Yeah, big O, exactly. you have Jay Billis sitting down there on the desk and everything he has to offer, and Michael Wilbon and all these guys that you really want to listen to, and instead I'm listening to Rick Kamla and Dennis Scott. You know, and then they're throwing it over to Miles Turner, who's doing the, Miles Turner doing some updates. And that was funny. We kept dropping Paul George jokes all night that Miles is going to be all alone. So, and, you know, people yelling out, Miles, what do you think about, you know, George being gone, you know, and all that stuff. And probably using a little bit more profane language than that. But that was how they filled it. They filled it with like previous picks, doing interviews with those guys. So, I mean, it wasn't just dead time. It got a little repetitive, you know, after times.
Yeah. So let's talk quickly about the first few picks. I want to hear how that was received, being there in person. So Sixers take Fultz. No big surprise there. And then Lakers come in with the Lonzo pick, which I think everyone expected, especially after the D'Angelo Russell trade. But what was the vibe like, given everything that Lonzo is?
Well, everyone, I mean, there was a cheering, you know, more cheering than anything with those first three picks. Not a whole lot of boos, even like when we got to 3 in the Tatum pick, you know, to expect the Celtics, you know, a lot of boos, but the cheers kind of drowned out any of the boos that were going on. The biggest boos of the night came, they did put the camera on LeVar Ball. He was up on the big screen at one point and large amount of boos.
Oh, come on. He's an entertainer.
Yeah, he certainly is. A day or two later, or 4 days later, he's at WWE Raw. So
you know what? I think the NBA is a better place with LeVar Ball in it. That might be controversial, but you know what?
Yeah, well, you were all excited for him to be living in Beacon Hill and, you know, spending his afternoons at the Back Bay Social Club on Newberry Street and all that stuff. You were ready to sign yourself up for that last
I think it's
week,
on Boylston Street, Mike. You've been in New York too long.
Oh, you're right. It is Boylston Street. Oh, man.
I'm not editing that out. All right, so Lonzo goes to So walk me through you and your brother Chris was there too. Walk me through how that went, because in the back of your mind, you got to be thinking, this is Danny. He might flip this. Who knows?
Well, going into it, we actually, Chris and I got interviewed. You wanted a little draft tidbit story. So we're walking between establishments prior to the draft, and we got stopped by one of the Nesson reporters. And she grabbed Chris by the arm and said, "Hi, I'm so-and-so. I think Rachel Hoyt is her name. I'm okay. Rachel Hoyt from Nesson in Boston. And Chris's response is, "Oh, good old Nesson."
Did he mention J.B. Parker at all?
No, he didn't. He held that back, which was very surprising. And we didn't even talk about it.
Jamie Parker, for all the listeners, Jamie Parker was the Nesson sideline reporter at all the BC games when we were growing up. Chris and her had a lot of stand-to-field interaction.
I'm still surprised Jamie Parker didn't get an invite to my brother's wedding back in April. he kept saying he was going to do that, but it never happened. So she says, "I'm from Nesson in Boston." And Chris goes, "Ah, good old Nesson." And she got nervous at first. She goes, "Are you going to make fun of us?" Because it's just the way his tone, he said. He goes, no, I was just saying, not at all. That we're from Boston. We know who Nesson is. You could just say that. So she proceeded to interview us about kind of what we thought they were going to do with the pick. And the thought was, if it's Tatum, they're keeping it. If it's Jackson, something's coming down the pipe. There's a trade coming in some capacity, because it didn't sound like Jackson was going to be the guy. And all the craziness about him not working out for the Celtics and canceling on the Celtics as Ainge and Stevens were in the middle of the country in an airplane. If it was Jackson, there was a trade coming. So that was our thought going in.
Got it. Okay, so you had that kind of going, but beforehand. So and I forget, was the Jimmy Butler trade, was that announced before the Celtics pick or right after?
That was getting heated up around the Celtic pick. I think it actually came out before that, because everyone was talking about it around us, and Chris and I were like, "Hey, we're putting our phones away for the Celtic pick. We don't want it to be, we're here to see the pick happen. We want some element of surprise in this." So the Butler deal was being discussed then, and it was pretty well on its way. So that kind of took a Chicago deal, off the table as far as what they could do. But you didn't know if the Porzingis stuff was still really alive and well. Turns out that was probably more talk than anything of substance. That was the chatter around that time.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. And I'm guessing the Boston reaction, at least those who were at the Barclays Center in person, was probably, probably golf clap, right? Like, we're content with the Tatum pick. We're not jumping up and down screaming like Paul Pierce dropping to 10 right back in the day, but it's not a WTF situation. So
we tried to get a couple "Let's Go Celtics" chants going in our section, thinking there'd be a lot, and there really weren't a lot of Celtic fans around us, which was surprising. We thought there'd be more. Maybe they were. I watched video of the pick later, a couple of times, and the cheering sounded a lot louder on, watching the videos than it did where we were. Golf clap, I think, is a good assessment. Like I said, no overt booing or anything along those lines. So I think satisfaction with it. Chris and I were satisfied, and then after that, the draft kept going.
Yeah, and I'm really happy with the pick too. I think he fits in well, and I think the thing with Tatum is he fits in well regardless of kind of what the Celtics decide to do next, and I think we'll talk about that a little bit later, but I think he's a player who can fit into no matter what happens over the next few weeks. I think he's a player who can add a lot of value to this team, certainly offensively with his scoring ability, but I think he's going to learn a lot from Brad Stevens as well. I mean, Coach K, great coach as well with the assistants that they have there, but I think Brad Stevens.
Oh, there's the Pat Toomey Duke plug. There it is. I was waiting for it.
Oh, man. There are worse coaches.
Pro Duke comment right there.
I wouldn't say pro Duke, but they have some great assistant coaches on that team, is what I was saying. sorry. But I think Brad Stevens will do a lot of good for him as well. So I'm excited about it as well.
The one thing I'll add to the whole Tatum situation and him being the pick, he's here to stay. He's not going anywhere. People are, with whatever the Celtics will do the rest of the summer, and we'll get into that in a little bit. I just don't feel he's going to be included in any trade down the line. Like, they were very quick to get him in there to do the press conference the day after the draft. They had him up there on the stage all by himself. The other three second rounders who, in all likelihood, you wouldn't say they'd be or be locks to make the team or destined for the new G League. I think that just showed that he's really a part of their long-term plan. And, you know, they talk about Jaylen Brown being untouchable. I think you can put Tatum in that category too, just by how quick they were to get him in here, get him into Boston, introduce him to the media and all that stuff.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think for those fact checkers out there, I think when we talked about it last week, I think we were both, you know, would be satisfied with Tatum or Jackson as more and more news came out about the whole canceling mid-workout dynamic. I think we both shifted more toward like, hey, I think this Tatum guy is probably the one that we want and someone that kind of fits in well with the broader team. So I think we're satisfied with that one. If you are going deeper on the fact-checking side, one thing we did talk about last week before the draft was the potential for Jimmy Butler to wind up on the Timberwolves, and I think that was a Gib Dog reference. You want to tell us more about where that thought came from last week?
Well, I just, you know, when we were talking about is, you know, Butler for the Celtics number 3 pick a possibility, and, you know, I thought it was, and, you know, other than we were talking about finding a situation where he's only going to get traded if he's going to be in a situation to go to a team that's ready to win a title or ready to take that step or is, you know, close to making that step, just given, you know, the landscape of the whichever conference, you know, the team that they would be traded to is in. And I just went back to the Tom Thibodeau connection. You know, that's why, other than a Cleveland where he can go and be in the finals and maybe have a chance to do a little more damage against Golden State or come to a Celtics team that add him into it, and maybe you give Cleveland a run for your money and maybe you get by Cleveland. Who knows what's going to happen with Cleveland? That's a whole other topic. Mm-hmm. But other than that, yeah, I mean, because of Thibodeau's presence, it's Minnesota. You know, he obviously began to, take the next step as a player in Chicago while Thibodeau is his head coach. And, you know, them teaming up again with the young pieces that, you know, Minnesota has. Sure, it's going to be a very entertaining team in the West. You know, maybe looking into the bottom, you know, three, four slots, you know, in the West, I could see them making a run for that next year, being a tough out for, one of the top teams in the West, you know, if that was a first round matchup. You know, that's kind of what, you know, I still thought it was a long shot because it's not a place he'd be able to win right away, you know, maybe down the line as Towns continues to, you know, grow as a player and Wiggins finds himself a little more. But hey, it ended up happening.
Yep. Yeah. Good. I mean, good move. We'll see how it plays out.
Good move. And let this make our transition into our next topic here. As you say, good move. Yes. Fantastic move for the Timberwolves. But
I see where this is going.
What in the hell are they thinking in Chicago right now? You have one of the best two-way players in the NBA. I mean, offensively, defensively. I mean, sure, are there players better than Jimmy Butler? Yes. But how many more guys are actually a threat on the offensive end where they can create their own shot and knock down big shots and be lockdown defenders on the other end? There aren't too many of them. And you send him to Minnesota, you get back a guy who I liked a lot coming out of the draft in Zach LaVine, you know, freak athlete, you know, thought was going to be a nice piece to that Timberwolves team as they grow. But he's not going to be a second or heck, even a third option on a, you know, a championship level team, I don't think.
He can dunk, but I'm not sure that does much for you.
Well, he can dunk, you know, but maybe he'll tear his other ACL next time he tries to dunk. Not wishing that on the kid, but and then another point guard who was a number 3 pick in the draft, and the irony here is Chris Dunn's ending up with the Bulls a year after that was who everyone wanted the Celtics to take at 3 last year so they could flip him to Chicago for Butler, and here he is ending up in Chicago now. Didn't have a great first year, but you can blame some of that on Thibodeau and his kind of unwillingness to play rookies. Mm-hmm. And then Minnesota's picking for Chicago at 7, and they take Lauri Markkanen, who, yes, I mean, nice piece, you know, probably will be good at some point, but for next few years, he's a spot shooter. He's a spot-up shooter in this league. You know, a catch-and-shoot guy going to go for the corner, knock down some threes for you. He's going to knock down shots. Can he create his own shot right away? Probably not. If you're a team in Chicago who you're definitely blowing it up now by getting rid of Butler, don't you go the Dennis Smith route or the Malik Monk route? You know, that's more of a starting from the bottom pick as opposed to marketing. Like, it just makes no sense to me at all.
Yeah. Well, you don't trust the Chris Dunn to Lauri Markkanen connection that's going to be happening.
Not in year one. And maybe Dunn blossoms next year, you know, playing for a new coach. I don't know. Maybe Minnesota was not a good spot for him. I don't know. And then to keep it going, Chicago, my God, not only is that what you get back, and I don't think that package is good enough for Butler.
It's not.
You send pick 16 back to Minnesota too? Why do you have to give up the pick? I mean, again, you're rebuilding. Keep 7. I'm not saying the next All-Star is a 16, but you take a chance on some guy, maybe he develops into a decent starter for you down the line. I mean, why are you giving up assets? More assets than you need to.
I don't get it. I think they had a lot more leverage. I just don't get it.
They had to have had a better deal out there, and maybe they just wanted to send him to the West. Yeah. They didn't want to send him to Boston. We can't send him to the team that just ousted us in the first round of the playoffs. I mean, that can't be your logic when you're blowing it up and you're starting from scratch. You know, those same discussions are going on with George right now. Does the Pacers want to send Paul George to the West because they don't want to face him in the East? If you're starting from scratch or starting from the bottom, you got to go for the best deal. That couldn't have been the best deal.
Yeah, I agree. So yes, I agree. I think you would probably be a better leader for the Bulls franchise.
I'm ready now. I'm ready to move to Chicago now and pack my bags. I can move in with the Keplers in the short term. I'm sure Steven and Caitlin would love that. And then I could be a godfather to baby Kepler. Like, I'm already. Sign me up for the Windy City.
Let's get him in there.
I can go and I can be Paxson. You can come, you can be Gar Foreman, or we can switch roles. I don't care.
All right. Here's a better one. Okay. You can go to Chicago, you can be Paxson. That's pick 7, what you were just talking about. I'm gonna talk about pick 8. And I wanna talk about the New York Knicks. And I mean, it is just a dumpster fire there right now. So just pulling some stats out here. So Phil Jackson, obviously very accomplished as a coach. So he coached 20 years with the Bulls and the Lakers, made the playoffs all 20 years, won 11 titles. So everyone knows the story, comes to New York as president. So the 4 years, he was only there at the end of the first year. Those 4 years, 9th place, 15th place, 13th place, and 12th place in the East. So nice job, Phil. The Knicks are so atrocious that Phil can't even fix them. The Knicks have only one playoff series win since 2001. I'm sure you can name this one, Mike.
Yes.
Yeah, our faithful Celtics back in 2013, which actually accelerated the Big Three trade. The trade of Pearson and Garnett. So it was actually good for us.
It did. They had that one last shining moment in Game 6 when they had that 20-point comeback where they went a 20-0 run in like 4 minutes.
That's the Avery Bradley
Jeff Green fueled comeback.
Oh my God! Well, that's what the Nets were watching, and they were like, "Oh, they still got a little bit more legs." So the Knicks. So now they have a void. I'm actually really curious to see if Griffin comes on board, who just got ousted from the Cavs, or Masai Ujiri. I mean, I think he's still locked up in Toronto, but I mean, he'd be a hell of a get for them if they're able to bring him on board. I think he's.
Why would you want to do that if you're Masai Ujiri? Why? Why would you leave Toronto? I mean, I know they're about to probably go through a little bit of growing pains with the whole and having to kind of take a few steps back with Lowry leaving, but that seems like a more stable situation
to
me.
If you're Theo Epstein, why don't you go? Why do you go to the Cubs? Right? I mean, if you can revive basketball in New York, I mean, is there a higher mecca than that? And He did. You talk about Ujiri. I think he did great work in Denver with the Carmelo trade, and he's put together a pretty good roster up there in Toronto. And they've run into the buzzsaw in the playoffs a few years, but we'll see. It's probably a moot point, honestly, because I think he's in year 3 of a 5-year deal. They'd have to give up picks probably to get him. And
well, the Knicks like to give up draft picks for people.
So I agree with this. I just looked at the future, and they actually have all their first round picks in the future. The Knicks, which I was shocked by. I was like,
it would be a very James Dolan move to give up like two first round picks for this guy. Absolutely.
So, okay. So Phil is gone. He's presumably still, I don't know if he was still doing the draft. Yeah, I think he still was because the Melo stuff happened ever after. But so they take Frank Ntilikina. No, I can't do it. Ntilikina. Ntilikina. That's what it is.
Yes.
In the 8th pick, right?
And yes,
I mean, point guard from France, right? Just he's so unproven. And you have Malik Monk and Dennis Smith on the board that we just talked about at 7, the Bulls through the T-Wolves passing on for Markkanen. Imagine Malik Monk at the Garden. I mean, come on. One of the great quotes I read was that if guys like Dennis Smith are sports cars, Ntilikina is a Kia. So I don't know. You live in New York, Mike, not me. You tell me whether a sports car or a Kia is the right way to go. But it seems like they're leaving the country literally to try to find folks who can tolerate playing for the Knicks. And even better, he got hurt in his first practice yesterday.
Tweaked
the knee.
That's just New York Knicks all over it.
Meanwhile, Dennis Smith is jumping through the gym in Dallas.
They said that there a loud cheer let out in the Dallas draft room after the Knicks took Frank at 8 and Dennis Smith was still going to be on the board. Yeah.
So,
you know, all those talks about Phil Jackson falling asleep during the workouts, during the pre-draft workouts, you think he fell asleep like between the 7th and 8th pick and he woke up and said the first name that was on the piece of paper in front of him? What do you think?
I don't know. I mean, he must have fallen asleep when Dennis Smith had a 48-inch vertical because he didn't know that. So I mean, what do you do if you're the Knicks at this point? I mean, Melo cannot be on the team anymore. He's just not the right fit for what they have right now. But I actually don't think they should buy him out. I think that's giving him too much credit, letting him pick his team. And honestly, like moving on from Phil, they probably won't buy him out. So here's what I would do if I was running the Knicks. I would wait for Melo to actually opt out after next year. I think he actually will. There's an interesting dynamic happening right now where LeBron, Melo, CP3, and Wade are all potential free agents in 2018. No, definitely don't want to speculate in the banana boat party right now, but I get a sense that maybe Melo opts out, so don't buy him out now if he could potentially opt out next year. I think if you're in the Knicks, you make high-quality draft picks. You build around Porzingis. He's a unique player. And don't propose absurd trades. Did you see the freaking trade that got proposed that Doc Rivers turned down?
I don't believe that one. But, and I was watching today, Doc all but said I was watching a Doc Rivers interview today. He all but said that wasn't the case, that a deal never got to that point. In a million years, that's not a trade that you make.
So the alleged trade from the Knicks perspective is you trade Melo, and I think it was the ghost of Sasha Vujacic, bad memories from 2010, but we'll move on from that. And you get back, ready for this? Get pumped. So this is Carmelo. You get rid of Carmelo. You get Jamal Crawford's terrible deal.
Jamal Crawford part two.
His terrible deal.
Didn't work in New York the first time, so let's try it again.
And even better, you get Paul Pierce and Austin Rivers. I mean,
the
Jesus.
The ghost of Paul Pierce.
Paul Pierce is a Nick? Paul Pierce is a Nick. Can you please think about that for a second?
He did have some of his best games, as far as best road games in Madison Square Garden. So maybe that was the Knicks thinking. I can think of a lot of great Paul Pierce games there.
I love
maybe
that game winner.
Thought. I don't know.
The game winner where he did like the home run trot and then Nate Robinson jumped on him and almost flipped off. Like
I was
Nate
at
was
that
prone
game.
To do.
I
oh,
was
no big deal.
I was four rows from the top.
Of course. Oh, I thought you were going to say from the floor.
No, from the top. From the top. And I think that was my first Celtic Knick game ever. And it was right. It was before the Knicks got Melo.
That was Amare Fever.
Yeah,
right?
It was Amare. It was during when Amare was on his way to the MVP.
D'Antoni
in his first year with the Knicks. Yep, D'Antoni, Ray Felton, Danilo Gallinari, Timofey Mozgov, before he became an albatross of a contract. All those guys. I'll never forget that game. That was a lot of fun.
So I'm hating on the Knicks pretty bad here. What do they have? They have Madison Square Garden. Players are always going to want to play there. You will get good players as free agents. But please do not hire Isaiah Thomas. Are you kidding me? The breaking news, Gibby just texted me. Frank Isola thinks Isaiah could be a dark horse candidate. Oh, man. Let's not even go into like the ethical considerations of that. I don't even want to talk about
it. I wouldn't put it past. You know, Dolan still talks to him. He still kind of advises Dolan a little bit. You know,
Dolan was playing a rock concert the time of the NBA draft.
If they don't get Ujiri to come, if they can't work out something for David Griffin recently,
it would probably
let go by Cleveland. I mean, he's available. I mean, they're crazy if they don't look to him. I don't know why that's the first choice, given that he's no draft picks needed for him. I mean, if you strike out there, there's still got. I mean, why not give Steve Mills a shot? The guy who's been working under Jackson. If you can't, that's a way better option than going the route of Isaiah. But would I be surprised? Absolutely not.
Nothing surprises us.
And
I'm
all for the entertainment thing. Entertainment when it comes to the Knicks, as far as it's entertainment that does nothing to prohibit my teams from winning. And I would just love to watch that pending dumpster fire. That would, oh my God. Bring it on. Come on, Dolan. Give it to me.
So I mean, I'm happy to head down to Manhattan if they need me to, you know, oversee things for a little bit and make sure that they're not trading Porzingis for nickels and dimes or buying out Melo and paying him $30+ million when he's just going to opt out to Banana Boat next year. So
I think it's safe to say Porzingis is going nowhere. If you're Steve Mills and if you're in your interim status right now running the team and you're doing anything that you possibly can to show that you're the right guy for the job, you don't. Trading Kristaps Porzingis is not part of that audition at all.
I agree.
So he's not going anywhere.
All right. So Chicago, New York, you know, two of our three largest cities in this country need a little work.
While both of those places would be great cities to live in, let's talk about one more that I've just been there within the last calendar year, and I would never want to live there.
I've been there a few times too. Continue.
What is Sacramento doing? We spent a lot of time last week talking about how they turned down the Lakers offer supposedly for two and for taking two from the Lakers. They'd give the Lakers 5 and 10. We said, no, hold your places. It's a 10 player draft. It drops off significantly after the top 10. You're a terrible team that just needs basketball players. Let's forget about positions right now. They take De'Aaron Fox at 5. Great pick at 5.
Yep, agreed.
They're saying Fox could be, if he gets a jump shot, could end up possibly being the best player in this draft. You could see flashes of it at Kentucky. So great pick at 5. The Kings, Vlade Divac saying that if the Kings had a number one pick, he said Fox would have been his guy. All right, let's stop stretching it a little bit there, Vlade. But you love the player. A lot of people love the player. Great pick. Then at 10, you take, and it turns out at 10 they were – picking for the Blazers, but this guy would have been great for them. Zach Collins from Gonzaga. If he doesn't foul out of that or get in foul trouble in the national championship game against North Carolina and Gonzaga goes on to win the national title, you're looking at him as the most outstanding player of the Final Four. You know, everyone's really high on him and his ability. So they take him at 10. They flip him for Justin Jackson, who's just going to continue the North Carolina tradition of producing average players when they get to the NBA.
Great
together when they play in college, and then an average player once he gets to the NBA. And then
we do not discriminate hating on either Chapel Hill or Durham on this podcast, by the way. But go back to Harry Giles.
And then Harry Giles at 20. So you flip Collins, who's going to be a very good NBA player, I think, pretty like within the first couple of years, to a guy in Jackson who's going to be, you know, the jury's out. Who knows? And then talk about even more of a what if with Harry with Giles and his knee issues. Yes, I know coming into Duke as a freshman, he was considered the top player coming out of high school. But I mean, the injuries and, you know, the uncertainty with both his knees, not just one. I mean, if you're Sacramento, how are you doing that? Why are you taking that chance when you have two picks in a top 10 of a very deep draft? I just again. I was saying, don't screw it up. Don't screw it up. Hold on to 5 and 10. And sure enough, they don't even trade up. We were talking about them not trading up, and now they trade down. It's just
you can only put 5 players on a basketball court. So trading down in this situation, pretty questionable given how much talent was at the top. And also, there's a guy in the draft that Fox had pretty damn good chemistry with, who was on the board, who was falling. And Michael freaking Jordan had him fall into his lap at 11. Malik Monk.
Malik Monk's going to have the biggest games of his career against the Bulls, the Knicks, and now the Kings.
And you know what? He'll do it to the T-Wolves too, just to spite them.
I don't know. I mean, Perrin, I mean, it'd be a small, you know, backcourt and then, you know, the three spot. But again, we're talking about this positionless basketball. We hear it all the time when talking about the Celtics. It's the way the rest of the league's going. De'Aaron Fox, Malik Monk, Buddy Hield. That sounds like a fun team to me. Fun team to watch. Are they going to make the playoffs next year? Probably not.
Nope.
But you never know what they could grow into. I mean, at least you're giving yourself a chance. You know, maybe you're selling some tickets. You know, I can't with the Kings. You just continue the ineptitude when you think they are going to – they do a smart thing by holding on to the two picks as opposed to jumping up to two, and then they trade back.
Well, you know, the Cousins trade looked terrible, and now it looks less terrible. So maybe the same thing happens here, and Harry Giles is the second coming, and we'll see. Jury is out. I'm not a huge fan of the UNC kid either.
So you want to go to Sacramento, or do you want me to go to Sacramento? Either one.
If I can manage it from San Francisco, I'll consider it. But all right, that's enough about 19-year-olds who.
Phil Jackson managed the Knicks from Montana. You know, he did his job.
I wouldn't
from
call
Montana,
it managing. So he was in Montana while he was getting paid $12 million by the Knicks. That's enough about 19-year-olds. Let's talk free agency. This is a Boston biased podcast for sure. So we got to spend a few minutes on the Celtics. This is a big week. This is a really big week.
You could argue this is bigger than I mean, it's bigger this time around because did they really have a shot at Durant last year? In hindsight, probably not.
No.
They put forth a good pitch. You could say this is bigger than last year.
I think so. And they got Horford last year. Like
they did get – right. They did. But I think given the future of this team and fast-track to a year from now – given all the guys that are coming off the books and are be eligible for new contracts, you got to do something with this cap space, you know, that's coming up, and not just free agency, but then, you know, working the trade market too to work things together. You're not going to have another year with cap space like this moving forward.
Yep.
So that's what may, and this is your last opportunity for a while.
Yep. So it's an interesting situation for Danny. He's spent the last few years acquiring all these assets and accumulating all these picks, and he has this war chest, and he's got to make a decision in the next week. And I think Houston might be actually forcing his hand a little bit with the splash that they made picking up CP3. What do you think's going through Danny's mind right now? And if he has to make a decision, Paul George or Gordon Hayward, what does he do? Or what would you do?
If you have to pick one or the other, you would probably take Hayward because you can just sign him without having to give anything else up. You can hold on to your treasure chest of assets, which eventually what's he going to be able to do with all of those? You add Hayward to this existing roster. You know, is it enough to beat Cleveland? No. If you add just George to this roster, is it enough to beat Cleveland? You challenge them a little bit more. Yes, you give yourself a shot. So, given that you can sign Hayward just for money and not have to give anything up asset wise, be it player, be it draft pick, if it's one or the other, it's gotta be Hayward. But I think he knows it can't be one or the other. And that's why they're working diligently for both here.
Yeah. Yeah. And of course, when I mentioned Paul George, I mentioned him with the expectation that he would stick around. Cause I mean, if it's a rental of Paul George, that's obviously very different than having Gordon Hayward for 4 years.
Yes. No, I think that's a big component of it too. And that's going to depend on obviously what they're going to have to give up to Indiana. If George is willing to sign an extension, and by all indications, it sounds like he's open to an extension with the Celtics. If he were to come here, that changes the package. If he's coming here on a rental, you're the Celtics. You can bring this offer down a little bit. Just, I mean, look what the Clippers just got back for Chris Paul. Is Chris Paul, you know, a little bit older than, you know, George. Is he more heading towards the back nine of his career? Yes, but still a very, very good player in the league. And you look what the Clippers got. I mean, Indiana can't expect much more than that, just given George's contract situation and also given what the going rate is for these guys in other places, guys that want out of where they are. Obviously, Paul wanted out of the Clippers situation. You know, George has made it very clear he's done with Indiana. So your leverage as the team trading him goes down for sure.
And I think this is a conversation that has to also include the little guy, Isaiah, the other Isaiah Thomas, a lot of Isaiah Thomas references on this podcast. And it really comes down to, I mean, it's possible that they could have all three. They could have George. They could sign Hayward, trade for George, and they'd be able to re-sign IT, given he's been with the team. But if you had to pick two of them and you're Danny, how do you think that through? I mean, you have someone like Paul George who has probably the highest peak of the three. It was only a couple years ago where he was probably the MVP for the first third of the season. What was that, three mm-hmm. years ago, 4 years ago,
yes.
before the injury?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You have Hayward, who obviously a lot of familiarity with Stevens, plays very, very well into the system. I mean, such a dynamic player, improving. And then IT is so unique. I mean, such a dynamo offensively, that fourth quarter instinct, but a little bit of a not disregarding his one vote he received for the all-defensive teams, probably not the defensive player that the other two are.
They need to take ballots away from people when they do silly stuff like that.
So good.
I mean, he's not... When he got hurt, when he got hurt in game two of the Cleveland series, it's, oh, the Celtics are just going to get so much better defensively now that, you know, Thomas is, you know, off the floor. It proved that he wasn't as big of a defensive liability as people are making him out to be.
Yeah.
Should he have gotten any vote whatsoever for the all defensive team?
Absolutely not.
No, but maybe that was that person's logic. I don't know. And IT took to Twitter. He took to Twitter to voice his displeasure right away,
yeah.
saying how not Crowder, Bradley, nor Smart, none of them got even one third place vote or whatever it was.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
It's crazy. So what do you do? Where's your head at?
All right. It obviously has to fall in line here. It has to. They obviously have to wait for Hayward, sign him with the cap space. And then you have to make the play for George with your draft picks and your players. Mm-hmm. So you're looking at, I think, this is when the assumption that he's going to agree to his extension, which I think is the only way the Celtics are going to do this deal. You start with players from the roster. It's Crowder, just for one, money. Two, there's no place for Jay Crowder on this team with Gordon Hayward and Paul George.
He's taken to Twitter as well to voice his displeasure.
Yes, he has. He has in the past, and maybe he will again. Tyler Zeller's contract, his $8 million non-guaranteed. And then you're looking into a pick here with probably the Laker/King pick, whatever it is. I don't think that gets it done. To make the money work even more, you have to add... Maybe you add some salary and you have to add something else in, like an Avery Bradley. So I think it's going to have to be Crowder. It's going to have to be Bradley. If you add Bradley in, I guess that pulls Zeller out. So Crowder, Bradley, the pick. One more player probably has to go to make one, you know, like a Terry Rozier has to go to make the money work a little bit more. And just that little bit of cap space just means so much. And I think you have to pull that trigger. If that's the deal and you can get George for that, you make the trade. That allows you to hold on to Marcus Smart. I would give up Rozier to keep Smart. You plug Smart in as your fifth guy with that starting four of Horford, George, yeah. Hayward, and Thomas. Do you plug Smart in? If you want to keep Smart coming off the bench, you can start Jaylen Brown in that spot. I mean, it gives you some, you know, choices to make there.
And the number three pick of the draft, Jason Tatum is
Jason
on the team.
Jason Tatum,
too.
Yes. So there's your top seven guys right there. You bring over Zizic, last year's first round pick, Ante Zizic. All indications say he's coming too. So there's eight. And just What do you think before I keep going down my roster? Where do you go as far as the top part of it?
So it all depends on the leverage, and it all depends what Houston's going to do. If Houston's pushing right now, I think we have to wait for Hayward, but if Houston does an ultimatum and they're like, we will do the trade now, and if you don't do it now, we are not interested anymore, then maybe the Celtics can get away with a Zeller, Crowder, Lakers pick, Clippers pick. But if it's competitive, they probably do have to throw in Bradley. Bradley would hurt, but...
Here's the thing. If you're Indiana, you want Bradley, one, because, I mean, he's going to help you out of the gate.
They'll trade him.
But that's... Oh, my, yeah. Halfway through next year, a contender's coming looking. Avery Bradley's going to be a very hot commodity, and you can turn him into something halfway through the year next year.
Yeah. In general, I mean, I think adding Bradley versus adding Zeller, obviously a big difference, and it all depends on what the offers are. I mean, Celtics
blow. That doesn't keep me from doing it, though.
No, I think you do it either way. You do it either way. Mm-hmm. You have enough picks. You need to use the picks. You can't play all these guys. You have the picks for this reason. You give them two picks. Hell, throw in a third. Throw in the Memphis pick, whatever.
Or throw in the Clipper pick. The Clipper pick might actually be the better one.
2019.
In light of recent developments as far as the Clippers go. So give them the Clipper pick. Yeah, give them that one too.
Yeah. And you make the trade. You make it in a heartbeat. I mean, you got to get them to agree to the extension. You can't be doing a rental with that. If it's a rental, it's completely different. Let's not even talk about that.
And he's open to extension with Boston, Cleveland, and San Antonio, it's been reported.
Yeah.
And then you got to probably throw Houston in there too. He'd probably agree to an extension there as well. So it's any contending team that he can go to. Looks like he's open to staying there for at least the next 3 years.
Yep. So it'll be an exciting next few weeks. Should we give predictions? What we think is going to happen?
I think we should. Not only just with the free agents out there, but there's a lot of big names that are going to be moving teams by way of trade or even buyouts and have a chance to sign somewhere else on their own. I don't know where we want to start.
I'll say a name. You give me who you think, and then I'll agree or disagree. Then you can say the next name. So I'll start. Man of the hour, Gordon Hayward. Is he wearing green?
I don't want to sound like a homer here.
I mean, we're both so homers, but do it.
Yeah, no, I think as much as I want to say we're going to see him in green, I think he's, if I had to put money on one destination, I'd say it's staying in Utah. They're saying he's very torn about this decision. He's a very loyal guy. He seems to have liked Utah, his time there. They can offer him the most money. At the end of the day, is that the most important thing to him? I don't know. I don't know him well enough to know that. One report says it wouldn't matter. One report says another thing. If I had to guess right now, I'd say all signs point to him staying in Utah. That would put a big hitch in the Celtics' plans, obviously. And they'd have to go to Plan B, which Plan B isn't terrible, but it would be a disappointment missing out on him. But I'm going Utah with Hayward right now.
I'm gonna go a little controversial here, and I think he's going to Miami. I think there's something too. He's going there first. I think
I don't think that means anything.
That's not the come on. That's not my only reason. Come on. You got Pat Riley bringing out his rings. You got kind of a promising team. They looked great the second half of the year. You got Whiteside. You got Johnson. I'm still a big Winslow believer. Not as big of a believer as the three-point shooter guy who used to be on the Thunder.
Deion Waiters.
Yeah, not as big of a Waiters guy, but I think they got a good core there, and low tax rate. I think he surprises us. I think he actually goes to Miami.
And for the same reason that people talk about the Celtics being a destination because of the presence of Stevens, they hold Eric Spoelstra in the same regard as they do Stevens around the league as far as being a very good coach. I mean, look what he got out of that team last year. And if it weren't for a couple of teams sitting their starters the last couple games of the NBA season, the Heat are in the playoffs. And that was one of my fears going down the stretch, the Celtics are going to be stuck playing that Heat team in the 1-8 matchup, which I think would have been a terrible matchup for the Celtics. And I think, you got to add the Spoelstra factor in there as well as a young coach in this league that people want to play for.
Yeah. All right, big surprise. Neither of us have him going to Boston. I would not have predicted that. all right, who you got next?
Let's go with Mr. Blake Griffin.
Blake Griffin. All right,
give me a destination.
All right, he is. I think he's staying in LA. I think the CP3 trade. I think kind of shows their hand a little bit. They think Blake is the right superstar to keep on this team. And I don't know how much of this is a Doc Rivers decision. I'm trying not to read too much into all the rumors that are coming out there now, but I think he stays. I think moving on from Paul means they want to build the team around him. And if you're the Clippers, you need a star. You're in LA, you got to compete with the Lakers. And I think they keep Blake.
I'm going to disagree with that. And before I give you my destination, I'm going to say, yes, they need a star. But does he want to be the guy that's going to stick around there without Chris Paul? They've just gotten, I mean, I like Beverly.
I like Beverly too.
I like Patrick Beverly a lot, but he's not Chris Paul.
No.
They're looking at not necessarily a total rebuild there. If he were to stay, you still have him. You still have DeAndre Jordan. You have some nice pieces that you got back from the Clippers. You're not going through a total rebuild, but you're stuck in a little bit of purgatory if you're the Clippers, given what what the rest of the landscape looks like with the Warriors, with Utah, if they keep Hayward, like, you know, I think they might. San Antonio, obviously. The path for the Clippers is very difficult. And does he want to be a part of that? I say no. And I mentioned Celtics going to Plan B. Plan B, Blake Griffin. Blake Griffin to the Boston Celtics. They're going to have the cap space. You could argue that they could go get Griffin and then still go through with this plan for Paul George as well. I mean, you plug in Hayward, you plug in Griffin, which does it matter which one? No, I don't think it does. You could even maybe get Blake for one less year, just given his injury history. If the Clippers are offering him the full max, then that takes it off the table. Then if you're the Celtics, you're giving him the 4-year max, and that's a chance you're going to have to take. You know, the people are saying if you could get Blake on a discount, as far as, you know, less years for the max, do you go ahead and do it? I don't think that's an opportunity anymore, given that the Clippers fully intend to throw the kitchen sink at him and that 5-year max. But I think something about coming to the East, having a better chance to go further in the playoffs. I'll put him being present for the Paul Pierce's last game in Boston can see what can happen when you come to Boston and you produce a title, you know, what the fans are like here. You know, it's a real true fan base. And I think that I believe, you know, the report's saying that he was taken aback by all that. It was something that was of interest of him to be a part of. So I buy that talk, and I buy the money, and I buy the chance for him to kind of have a new fresh start in a place where he can, you know, get past the second round of the playoffs.
Okay. Oklahoma to Los Angeles to Boston. The Blake Griffin journey continues, says Mr. Gibson. All right, so we got two down. I'm going to throw Kyle Lowry at you.
With Chris Paul going to Houston, let's go San Antonio.
Ooh.
Not going back to Toronto. If San Antonio was in on Paul, you could see Lowry as a possible fit there. So I'm going to go San Antonio with Lowry. I have no percentage or certainty to put on it. If you're a Celtic fan, let's put a Celtic spin on it, because let's put a Celtic spin on every argument.
Of course.
While we're at it. You're not rooting for this to happen. You're rooting for a San Antonio George Hill reunion. George Hill leaving Utah to go to San Antonio. If that happens, maybe that's a little extra bump for Hayward not to go back to Utah. You know, Hayward and George Hill reportedly very, very close, really good friends. If Hill's not going to be there, does Hayward still want to be there? I'm not saying that's a make or break for Hayward. So I'm going to go San Antonio, Lowry, dark horse. That doesn't happen. If you're a Celtic fan, you're not rooting for Lowry to San Antonio to happen. You want it to be Hill.
Yep. I think Lowry stays in Toronto.
Okay.
So I think they can offer him more.
Can you give that much money to a backcourt? I'm sorry to cut you off, but just DeRozan and Lowry. Can you give that money to that lock up all your money, all your cap space in those two guys?
I mean, unfortunately, it's not a free agent destination. I think you got to stick with the guys that have been there, and they've had some decent runs. And I think you just gotta get lucky in the draft, or get lucky and get an undervalued player like what Ainge has done in Boston with many of these guys. So I think he stays. I just don't think anyone is able to match what Toronto can offer him, and I think Toronto. I just think Toronto can't afford to lose him either. Like, where are you if he's in your Toronto?
If you want to stay competitive in the East, if you want to stay up the top with Cleveland, with Boston, with the Wizards, you know, you got to keep him.
Here's actually the move. If you own the Raptors, you sign Lowry, and then you trade your GM to the Knicks for a couple first rounders, and then you're in business.
Those are going to be some good first rounders if they're coming from the Knicks. Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah.
All right, who we got next?
All right, next one. We're going to go off the free agent board. This is a trade. Where is Paul George playing the beginning of next season?
Paul George will be playing his games at the TD Garden on Causeway Street in Boston, Massachusetts. They make the trade. We talked about it a lot. I think it just makes too much sense. Boston can offer the most. Indiana, I think Pritchard is a great GM. I think they're going to try to get as much as they can. He's going to do the extension, and we're going to see Paul George and Isaiah Thomas together, and we'll see how that looks. And I'm really excited about it. I mean, he was such an amazing player to watch, and such a horrible injury in the Olympics, but has come back, and I think he's still a great player. And you could see he also needs a change of scenery from Indiana. And I think he floated that Lakers rumor out there just to accelerate things, because I think he does want to get out of there sooner rather than later. So I look forward to seeing him in green.
I hope you're right on that one. I think maybe I'm just setting myself up here to be pessimistic, so I'm not disappointed, in the end. But something scares me a little bit about the Celtics waiting this out, you know, waiting to chase Hayward first, try to secure Hayward first. And then having to pull off the trade for George. Does Indiana want to wait that long? I'm not so sure. It's going to be really tough for them to get this done, but I can see Houston sneaking in here and making it work. Future picks, they're going to have to get Indiana to buy into, waiting for first-round picks, because they've already sent their 2018 to the Clippers in the Chris Paul trade. They can't trade their 29 pick. They've got the 2019 pick. So they got to sell Indiana on waiting for 2020 or 2022. They got to sell, Indiana on, a guy like Clint Capella, a good young front court player. Houston's shown, Daryl Morey, their GM, has shown he can get creative in the past. And if the Celtics...
Dwight Howard, that worked out well.
Sorry. A lot of people have made a Dwight Howard mistake, so I can't just put that on him. but I think I can see Houston getting creative and pulling it out, just because the Celtics are dragging their feet here, not because they don't want to pull the trigger, but just because things have to happen in a certain order for them.
All right, Capella in the 2022 pick. Okay, fine. You don't want the 18 Lakers and the 19 Clippers. And
no, that's the thing. You don't. It's Celtics have the better deal. You're absolutely right. But
okay. We'll see how it plays out.
Could Indiana get impatient? There is that bit of possibility. And we'll if it see. Does, we shall see.
We'll see how it plays out. Let's end on this one. Another player who's not a free agent, but could potentially be moving in the next couple of weeks, Mr. Lala, Carmelo Anthony.
Melo, all signs point to him staying with the Knicks unless he's traded. Do they buy him out? The likelihood of that is no. But if they do, it's going to be a very interesting bidding war between Houston and Cleveland. He has to make the choice. Chris Paul, LeBron James. What opportunity, presents himself to have a better shot at a ring right away? You probably got to say Cleveland, just because you're almost assuring yourself a trip back to the finals. Does does Houston or Cleveland depend on the presence of George? If George is in Houston, he probably chooses Cleveland. I already have George going to Houston, so I got Melo going to Cleveland.
Cleveland, interesting. So we'll get half the banana boat bunch ready now, and we'll see what happens. I mean, the thing. So I think he's staying in New York. I think he has a trade kicker. I'm pretty sure, but correct me if I'm wrong there. If he does get moved, I know he has the full no trade. Obviously, he'd be fine going to Cleveland. I don't think they buy them out as was said, and I don't think he goes anywhere. I just don't see a match right now where New York gets the return that they really want in this situation. And similar to LA, you need a star in New York. That's not Derrick Rose. That's not Joakim Noah. That's not Frank Ntilikina. They need a star. And regardless, Melo will continue to sell seats. The people in those seats will be booing him, but they will be sitting in those seats, and Dolan will be making money. And again, I'm gonna say I think they're gonna wait and see if he opt outs after next year, and then they can kind of start afresh.
You're holding yourselves back though from starting a process that's inevitable at this point. Around another year, that's my only concern there. But
maybe.
But at the end of the day, there's no trade partner for anywhere he wants to go that could give the Knicks what I think they're looking for, or what they would want to get back. Yeah.
I mean, maybe they can't give them the 2024 pick when Cleveland's in last for the next 5 years, but
yes,
we'll see. All right. Well, the exciting part is, in about a week we can, check back and see how we did and see who gets bragging rights. I'm actually shocked that, we did not review those beforehand. So I'm pretty shocked that, we did not match on any of those. So, I think I was generally a little bit more inclined to have people stay. Mike's in an adventurous mood outside of Hayward and is thinking of a lot more mobility. So we'll see. I'm excited. I think Mike and I were thinking about going to the Hamptons and trying to see if we could post up and see if we could get invited to any of these invite trains that are going on. But
I think the Celtics should go Hampton Beach with Hayward instead of the Hamptons. Let's try to do something a little bit different this time around. The Hamptons didn't work with Durant last time. So let's change the scenery around. Why not? Couldn't hurt.
Let's go right to the New Hampshire border. You pay a lot of taxes in Massachusetts, not in New Hampshire. So you can live here in New Hampshire. It's just like being in Miami.
So many great acts.
It's just like South Beach.
Come to the Hampton Beach Casino Ballroom.
Oh my God!
You can't miss out.
Okay, we talked about you running Chicago. You are not running Boston anytime soon with that type of attitude. so that's all we got this episode. Lot of good talk on draft and free agency. Looking forward to doing a little recap of free agency in the next week or so once some of these moves happen. But really exciting time to be in the 617 area code and see what Danny does. The culmination of a lot of very intelligent trades and drafts over the years. So looking forward to seeing what Danny does.
We'll find out pretty soon, probably by the 4th of July. We'll have a good idea of where some of this is heading, I'm sure.
For sure. That's all we got. Looking forward to it.